Blog Talk Radio.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk. Back in the city of Tampa, Florida. It's your hip hop informer, that dude TM Hyman. It's 10 o'clock where I am on the East Coast. It's 7 o'clock, 7:01 now on the West Coast. You are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. And it's a good one tonight. It's Money Monday in the city. Welcome to the show. From gospel to rock, up close and personal tonight, we have a special guest, B. Slade, a.k.a. Tone. You knew him as a Grammy-nominated gospel artist. I think Tone walked on the wild side as an artist. Some received them, some did not receive them, but nevertheless, he used to sing for the glory of God. Tone, that's formerly Tone, now known as B. Slade, here with us tonight. Again, Grammy-nominated artist B. Slade, formerly known as Tone, here with us live. B. Slade's anti-gay bullying song, BSFF, generated a lot of controversy within the church, along with allegations, rumors that sent him over the top. He's here tonight to set the record straight about his career, his projects, and his new name. Again, B. Slade, jump on it, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. You don't want to miss this show tonight. Again, my man B. Slade, Grammy-nominated artist, used to sing gospel music. Now he's in a whole different genre of music. Again, jump on it. You don't want to miss it. Up close and personal with B. Slade, a.k.a. Tone. Jump on it. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Got the angels up next. This is Dirty Money coming home. TM Hyman Radio Live. We'll be right back.
I'm coming home.
I never felt so strong, and
I'm back,
I'm
baby.
Feeling like there's nothing I can't try.
Nothing.
And if you with me, put
your hands high. Lost your life before.
Hey.
This one
for you, me, put your hands high. I hear the tears of a clown. I hate that song. I always feel like they're talking to me when it comes on.
Come on.
Another day, another dawn. Another Keisha, nice to meet you, get the map, I'm gone.
Go.
What am I supposed to do in a club life? Come on, it's easy to be pumped, but it's harder to be shown. What if my twins ask why I ain't married a mom?
Why?
Damn, how do I respond? What if my son stares with a face like my own and says he wants to be like me when he's grown? Shit, but I ain't finished grown. Another night, the inevitable prolonged. Another day, another dawn.
Come on.
Tell Keisha and Teresa I'll be better out tomorrow. Another lot that I carry on. I need to get back to the place I
I'm
belong.
Coming home. I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Check this out. A house is not a home. I hate this song. Is a house really a home when your loved ones is gone?
No.
And niggas got the nerve to blame you for it.
Come on.
And you know you would have took the bullet if you saw
right.
it. But you felt it and still feel it. And money can't make up for it.
Oh.
that's in your own home. It's time to make your house your home. Pick up the phone, pick up the phone.
I'm coming home. Tell the world that I'm coming.
Yeah, ain't no stopping us now. I love that song. Whenever it comes on, it makes me feel strong. I thought I told y'all that we won't stop. So we back cruising through Harlem. These old blocks is what made me, saved me, drove me crazy, drove me away, then embraced me, forgave me for all of my shortcomings. Welcome to my homecoming. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. A lot of fights, a lot of scars, a lot of bottles, a lot of cars, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. Made it back, lost my dog.
I miss you, big.
And here I stand,
come on,
a better man. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Team Hammer Radio Live, that's the new banger right there, coming home from Dirty Money. It's your hip-hop informer, that dude TM Hyman. Welcome to TM Hyman Radio Live. Jump on at 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. It's Money Monday in the city, November 29th, 2010. Tonight we have Grammy-nominated artist B. Slade, formerly known as Tone, here with us live. But first, we got to welcome those angels all the way live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We got CeeLo. Welcome to the show. Happy Money Monday.
Happy Money Monday to you as well, sir. Good morning in the afternoon.
Afternoon, all the way live from Newark, Delaware, on this Money Monday. It's Toya. Welcome to the show.
Hey, now, how y'all doing this evening?
Hey, Toya.
We are great.
Hey,
Toya. Dee Dee will be joining us live from Charlotte, from Chesapeake, Virginia. We got Charlotte already in position tonight, folks. Again, it's Monday, November 29th. It's 10:07 on the East Coast. And tonight we have very special guest B. Slade from Gospel to Rock, up close and personal tonight. B. Slade, formerly known as Tone. So let's just get right to it. If you want to jump on it and join this conversation, the number is 917-889-3926. B. Slade, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. How's everybody doing?
Funny as
We're doing great tonight, man. Where are you coming live from tonight, brother? Where are you coming live from?
I'm actually out here. I'm in NYC right now. Just landed. Just got off the plane. Coming from the West Coast. I was finishing up another project out there on the West Coast. So we just took it straight over here. I was up working all the way up to 5 in the morning. So I pretty much just had a little quick nap and jumped right on the plane and came out here. So I'm glad to be here. And
Rhonda.
It's not as cold as I thought it was going to be.
Hey, well,
yes, New York,
I just got back. I just got back to Tampa from Virginia, and I was supposed to have been in New York, but it was so freaking cold in Virginia, and I said, hell no, it is not possible for me to go up north, not this weekend. So I don't know what cold is like for you, but like 50 degrees for me from where I am right now is just like way too damn cold.
Yeah, so I think the West Coast has y'all's weather, and you guys have ours, and then it just switches up, right, and you think you can trust it, it just flips again, but it's all good, because the energy is great. The Tuesday nights out here were, like, our best weekends on the West Coast, so it makes up for it, so.
That's what's good, man. You know what, let's just get right to it, man. From gospel to rock, how did that come about, from gospel to rock music?
You know, rock is like very raw and very truthful and honest. And of course, I believe that gospel should be based off of those attributes, but a lot of it, since we're getting straight to it, is just everything's just not what it seems. If I can't speak on various themes about life and about my walk, not speak freely, then why even be involved with anything that I can't fully express everything God made me to be. And I did, and I did very well over there, and afforded an opportunity to really touch a lot of lives. You know, it's always going to be our foundation. For most rock and R&B artists, gospel is always the template and foundation. But the way I write, the way I dress, the way I talk, the way I express myself sometimes can be a little bit too much for conservative comrades. And I refuse to compromise anymore because there's too many people that need to be reached from all walks of life. For me to say I'm a Christian and operate in, you know, bigotry and segregation, that's so 1990,
no doubt,
you know?
This is B-Real Radio, so I just want to be clear for my audience, for the audience members who are unable to read between the lines. I'm their translator. Right? When you say conservative comrades, you're talking about other Christians, correct?
Well, yeah, not all, because I think it's not wise to throw everybody into the same boat, because a lot of people actually share the same sentiment as I do, as far as, you know, self-expression and creativity and diversity privately, but they can never express that publicly because, you know, there's a certain image that has to be upkept, and I understand that dynamic as well. But for the most part, I couldn't function in Arrested Development anymore. You know, you can't – I'm not interested in fighting over one bowl of dog food with 49 other people over one bowl when there's a whole world out there that – there's a lot to eat from and a lot to share with. And I think it's important that, you know, even when we make our exits or transitions or we evolve, you know, you don't burn bridges. You don't necessarily cut people off, but you also can't keep repeating yourself. And what I didn't want to do is to have success in that particular genre and then have to spend the rest of my career in syndication.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Quick question for you, for those who may not know, okay, I'm just going to kind of, you know, bring you up to date. Again, if you've just tuned into the show, it's Monday, November 29th, and we have Grammy-nominated artist B. Slade, formerly known as Tone. Tone has crossed over from the gospel genre into rock. Tone, you came out how long ago? Has it been a year?
Yeah, it'll be a year. Yeah, it just was a year. It's just now a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
The gospel world somewhat turned their back, or I'll say some in the gospel world, because clearly you just stated it's not all, turned their back on you after coming out and expressing your sexuality. Do you have any regrets at all?
You think about it, it's so much easier to play the game. I think I thought about it, you know, not long after I first did the interview. But one thing that should be brought up is that I never formally came out in that particular interview. It was with a gospel journalist named Lexi. And basically it was just a bunch of questions that were asked about my sexuality and different things and that I really honestly wasn't knowing was going to be asked. I had a premonition it might be. But these are questions that I've never heard asked of really anyone else. And all I did was answer truthfully and candidly. It really wasn't a, you know, this is the
coming out
show.
It wasn't a coming out party.
It just happened. It wasn't a coming out party. No, because at that time, I was just kind of sorting through the dynamics of what that was going to mean for everything that had been my financial foundation.
Right.
A lot of people don't take that into account. Well, they need to just come clean and they need to just, well, there's a lot of dynamics that have to be considered before you make a move, like even revealing your sexual preferences or explorations. And each person has to come to terms with that, particularly when you've been raised in a Pentecostal or, Pentecostal-based home or very strict religious home. It's a very difficult thing to sort out. So there's no way I would just say, oh, I'm going to jump on this and just reveal this information. It was just that day she asked me some questions and I told the truth about where I was at the time. And since then, more has developed as far as me understanding who I am. And they just weren't ready for the answers. I think I don't think anybody couldn't discern what was going down for many years, but it's just they'll applaud a maybe before they will celebrate, you know, a yes, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is definitely unfortunate, but I think I just heard you say that it's much easier to play the game now that you've kind of – is that because you feel free? You don't feel like you're ducking and dodging anymore?
Well, that element too. What I was actually saying was is that it's easier – it may not be easier internally when you kind of have to keep a certain look and a certain vibe and a certain swag to maintain – the approval of your more conservative or more right-wing or traditional gospel connoisseurs or consumers. It's just they're just not going for it. It's just they're not ready. And I'm not trying to be the one that forces them into anything. Like I said, I just simply answered some questions. But what happened was is that now on the other side, I'm on the outside looking in, and it's just really sad to see so many people who are tortured and troubled and scared and confused because they're conflicting with what's going on internally, and then wanting to sing about truth and walk in truth. And you can't worship God unless you are walking in spirit and in truth. And if you're living deception, how is anyone's worship? For those I don't want to assume every listener knows about how it goes in Christianity as far as the scriptural text that says that they that worship God must first worship him in spirit and in truth. I think we've always had the spirit down. We've always had that part down. That's a part of our African heritage and how we got over. But the truth part,
peace.
Complete truth,
yeah,
and vulnerability,
yeah,
is quite another thing. And it's not to be played with. It's not for suckers. I'll say that. You really have to have courage and tenacity.
Some heart.
To be you
definitely
in that type of environment and grow up in that environment and then come to terms with who you are and then publicly state this is what it is. And it was very challenging. I mean, literally the next week, everything I had, just like all the gigs, everything that they loved. Cause I went platinum over there, gold on the last album, the tour, it was unreal, swept the Stellar Awards. Dove Awards, two Grammy nominations, and it was just like I was at my height. You know, there was nothing that I could not do there. But at the same time, as life grows us up and evolves us, we cannot stop that. Anything that's not growing is dead. And I refuse to die in any system, and I refuse to pledge allegiance to any one demographic. I'm just a man who happens to be comfortable with the totality of his essence. And I will not allow even my sexuality to be the definitive measure of how people will receive my art. It's not about my bedroom. It's about my art, my integrity.
No doubt. Folks, if you just tuned into the show, we're going from gospel to rock with Grammy nominated. He said two-time Grammy nominated.
Mm-hmm.
B. Slade, formerly known as Tone.
This year, actually. Yeah, I had my first R&B Grammy nomination this year.
That's awesome. BSFF. Did this personal situation drive that creation, or was it prior to, and just thinking about the struggles, like you said, of those who aren't operating totally in spirit and truth?
This actually was triggered by, of course, a lot of people talk about the teens who have committed suicide, but no one's talking about the full-out adults that have also no way out. The multiplicity of the suicides, of course, brought more attention to it on a commercial media scale. And unfortunately, it had to take that for people to really start paying attention to an epidemic that has been going on for centuries. But that last one that happened just really sent me over the edge. And I was like, you know what? I have some things I need to say, too, about this, because I've experienced that same bullying and badgering, and you know who hasn't, who has come up, even if they don't know who they are. You know, there's LGBT and there's Q. There's some that are questioning, and in the process of that questioning, you can go through a lot of persecution when you're still trying to sort and find your way through. And we really don't talk about that element. And what I didn't want to do was do something soft and do something that was, you know, demonstrating an ounce of victimization, or that I was subject to anybody at this point in life in a threatening manner. I wanted to do something that was aggressive, because everyone assumes that same gender loving men and women somehow are weak and benign. And just because we are meek many times does not mean that that's synonymous with weakness. This this particular song just voices the sentiments of a lot of people's hearts that can't speak out loud, but it will empower even people who have not experienced gay bashing or, you know, the bullying in that particular. It's anyone who's ever experienced any type of oppression in any form, this song is empowerment for you to break free and stand up for yourself and quit allowing yourself to be anyone's punching bag mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. And that's where BSSFF came from, and that's where you get that real hard rock edge. I was trying to combine Rhythm Nation with Scream, but about this particular subject matter, and it came out crazy. Very explicit, but that was years of unspoken for anger that needed to come out in a positive way to empower others. So that's really the genesis and nucleus of that song's origin.
Folks, you are listening to the voice of B. Slade, a.k.a. Tone, who just confirmed that he is totally comfortable with the totality of his essence. He's talking about BSFF. Check out
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 Talk Radio Show.
Yeah.
are tuned into TM Hyman Radio Live. Thanks for rocking with us this Monday evening. If you're just tuning in, we have a special guest this evening, B. Slave. For most people who are familiar with the gospel scene, you probably remember him as Tone. But Tone has turned a new leaf as far as music is concerned and is no longer rocking with gospel, but a rock sound, as you heard. Again, thank you for joining us this evening, B. Slave. We just heard
Thank you for having me.
Oh, not a problem. We just heard a new song, BSFF. And before we went into that, you did give a little disclaimer, said it was kind of explicit. Could you tell us what the BSFF actually stands for?
Yes, Butch Stems, Faggots and Femmes, Trey, Queens, Sissies and Freaks. So basically, just all of the things that could possibly, the list that people use as bullets and daggers towards those who are either, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or even questioning, or just not even any of those, just you're just eccentric, or you're just different, or you're just not like everyone else. Those are a lot of the names that are used as daggers and bullets that are used still to this day. They don't affect me the same way because I've learned how to turn that into power. But I just thought it was really important to use that acronym because it just rings a bell, like, you know, Butch Stems, Faggot Stems. That's just like people use that to try to hurt and destroy and tear down and defamate. And I myself had experienced that and had a lot of stories of my own, aside from other people that I knew that went through a lot of that. So that song is just years and years and years and years of not saying anything about it and just kind of dealing with it. And that's the culmination. When you push someone too far, you end up with those type of results. And I think it's time to stand up for ourselves. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're not in any of those categories. Maybe it's just that you don't feel empowered to stand up for yourself no matter what it is. It could be a number of different things. But that's just the core of it, but the energy behind the song. I've heard people say, well, I don't have that experience. I probably was the bully, but it empowers me in a different way, you know. So I'm just glad that I was able to get it out. And you know, that's not the crux of what I do, but in the climate of what's going on, I thought it was necessary in time for somebody to say something in an aggressive manner versus, you know, just laying down and dying and letting people just run over. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely. Folks, if you just tuned into the show, it's Money Monday, November 29th, 2010. Tonight we have Grammy-nominated artist B. Slade, formerly known as Tone. And you just stated it, my man. You said the BSFF is not necessarily what you do, who you are, but it was you being an advocate. So let's talk about who you are and what you've done. Tone has released over several hundred songs on 24 albums that spanned over a career of 14 years. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct. That's
pretty phenomenal. Yeah. That's pretty phenomenal. Both gospel and secular artists you've worked with.
Yes. Both. I mean, most people probably know me by my former name, my former work with an album called Out the Box, a song called Lord Make Me Over, God Is Not Forgot, or even the UPN sitcom One on One, the theme song. That's me singing that. Sometimes in this life you can feel all by yourself. That with Flex Alexander, I wrote that and produced that song.
Oh,
so, yeah, a lot of people like that theme.
Off,
they just don't know who does it. Yeah. On We Go, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Jennifer Lopez. Yeah, the song, the closing song. Prison Song with Q-Tip and Mary J. Blige. The Walk with Eva Pickford. There's so much stuff that I've done that I, you know, it was behind the scenes that while I was still on A, and it, a lot of people had a conflict with me doing even, you know, commercial work, thinking that it was a compromise of, you know, who I was, I guess, as a Christian. And, you know, I that kind of foolishness is just, it's a lack of understanding in people who are just raising a certain type of thinking and limited understanding. But people evolve, and I try to do my best to just walk out what I'm doing and not spend so much time trying to explain where I'm going, and just let the past work tell the story. You know, because if you really look at all the albums, they all led up to this point. So this year alone is B. Slade. This is the first time I actually released something as B. Slade. Dawn of the Unicorn, which came out July. That's on iTunes right now. And then my most precious work to my heart as an artist, as a recording activist, A Brilliant Catastrophe. And there's two discs to that. There's Alpha and Beta. Alpha came out October 1st, and Beta, A Brilliant Catastrophe Beta, just came out on Thanksgiving. And the reviews and the critical acclaim has been nothing short but humbling and phenomenal. It's just amazing.
We got the new joint. We got the new joint. Parking lot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut over you, my friend.
No. You're fine. You're fine.
Parking lot. We're going to play soon. But before we go to the phones, because folks want to talk to you, I also want to acknowledge 6 Stellar Awards and a GMA Award in addition to that, those mm-hmm. 2 Grammy nominations. 6 Stellar Awards.
Well, actually, it's 7. It's 7 Stellars in 6 in 1 year. I got one in 2003 for Best Urban Rap Gospel Album, but the year of Out the Box, I actually hosted that year with Yolanda Adams and ironically, Pastor Donnie McClurkin. And that year I was nominated for 6, including Artist of the Year and Song of the Year, and swept every category that year. That was a phenomenal year. That was an unreal year because I felt that I finally had reached the gospel commercial acceptance that I had so longed for, just to see something different finally get recognition. Not so much recognition as for myself, but urban contemporary gospel is a smaller genre than gospel itself. It's a subgenre of a subgenre. So for it to actually make its way to the top and actually reach the pinnacle of that particular field, it was a major accomplishment, not just for me, but for everyone who did, you know, urban contemporary gospel music at the time, because it really gets shunned on. Even still to this day, it's just now kind of filtering through and being accepted.
Folks, tonight we're up close and personal with B. Slade, live out of NYC tonight, a.k.a.
Yes.
Tone. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and welcome to the show Miss Willingham, live from Chesapeake, VA. Welcome to the show tonight, Mama. Let's go to the phones, folks. 757, last 4 digits, 9575. You're on with B. Slade. Tell us your name, where you're calling from.
Yeah, my name is James. I'm calling in from the Seven Cities. When I first tuned in and I was listening, I missed what he had said that the DSFF, what that stood for. Could you say that one more time, brother?
Yeah, it was Butch, Femmes, Faggots, Femmes. Then the song goes on further and says Trades, Queens, Sissies, and Freaks. Just all the different derogatory names that people, heard coming up as kids or in school or in life, in family. You know, the BSFF is Butch, Stems, Faggots, and Femdust. Those are the things that I predominantly hear people tell me that they were traumatized by or either affected by in a negative way that they used to hear. And that's where that acronym comes from.
Okay, yeah, I understand now. I just missed that part or whatever. But
no problem.
What exactly, like, I don't really know. So, what are like socially acceptable ways to refer? I guess homosexually gay would be just, you know, politically correct, I guess.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I guess it's just a matter of understanding what is reality and what Hollywood and media has portrayed. Actually, the more politically correct thing I would think nowadays is normally SGL, which is same gender loving. It's not even so much gay. A lot of people use the term homosexual because they want to focus more on the sexuality than the actual, I guess, is that they can't wrap their mind around someone being in love because they're so focused about the sexuality or the physical sexual act that they can't possibly see a formidable, intimate, emotional relationship between two people of the same sex. So that's what a lot of people go by now is SGL. Gay is a more mainstream term, but the way that people used to put it out is like, oh, that person's homosexual. You know, it's just like, okay, they focus more on the sexuality. They focus more on promiscuity. They blanket it with that. So that's what I would probably say. SGL, gay, whatever. You know.
Beastly, what?
I mean, for me, it's just, you know, I'm too big for a label. I mean, I don't think any of us really can define ourselves in that way. It's just, you know what you like. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
What do you say to those many, many, many folks sitting up in church right now? You said earlier at the top of the show that there's a lot of gay people in the church that, you know, they have no problem being who they are in private, but, you know, they perk up and become someone else in public. I mean, what would you say, what advice, and I'm sure many of them would love to just kind of just kick the door open, right, and be who they are. I mean, what advice do you give those that are truly struggling to the point to where, in some instances, they want to take their own life? Because that's what really drove your BSFF song, you know, was the suicides that
were
taking
place.
What do you say to those
folks?
Here's
the thing. Here's the thing. I didn't mean to cut you off, but on that same subject while it was on my mind, I think that the question or the problem is not so much people's expression of sexuality in church. I really don't think that sexuality has a place in a house of worship. I think the focus needs to remain Jah. It needs to remain Christ-centered, if you know, or you know, maybe there's someone else from another faith, whoever your higher power is. Whenever you go into that place of meditation or worship or transcendental, whatever it may be, the focus is not about someone's sexuality. And I don't think straight or gay should get magnification or bedroom should get magnifications in a spiritual context.
And
sex itself
exactly.
is spiritual. That's true. But I don't think in a house of worship that should be the focus either way. I don't think I'm not an advocate for people coming in just, you know, just taking over and just ruining the construct of people's personal safety zones. Same way that they don't want to see, you know, gay people cutting up. We don't necessarily want to see, you know, the heterosexual side of that also put out and demonstrated in public affection in a house of worship. It's just an inappropriate setting. I think my position is leave it equal and keep God or Jah as the focus so that we don't offend people. You're going to do that anyway, but if you just speak to people's hearts and let God deal with people on a personal level as far as who they are, that's the best thing you can do, because from bishops down to ushers, from evangelists down to the janitor at the church, everyone has their own monkey, their own thing.
Something.
That's none of our business.
Absolutely.
Man looks at the outward appearance. God is concerned with the heart. And if there is an issue, I don't think it's about sexuality. More than sexuality, it's integrity, character, people meaning what they say and saying what they mean. I mean, what's worse, you know, a gay man or a lesbian woman who tells the truth or a straight person who lies, but because they're straight, it's accepted. It's like, you know, the guy who gets, you know, the girl pregnant in church, you know, yeah, she's more so shun on. And then the guy is almost celebrated and restored immediately because all he has to do is get up and wash off. But it's a form of, I guess, machoism or masculinity where that's almost applauded. If we're going to say fornication is wrong, then it needs to be wrong in all connotations of sexuality, you see.
Yeah,
folks, tonight we got B. Slade hanging out with us. Let's take one more call. I'm going to get into our finance segment. Come back, and we're going to play this new one called Parking Lot. Area code 757, Virginia's repping tonight. Last four digits, 2455. You're on with B. Slade. Tell us your name when you're calling from.
What's going on, everybody? It's Drew from Ghetto Gov Radio. How y'all doing this evening?
What's up, Drew?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Not a whole lot. Just wanted to call in. I've got a question that's burning a hole in my head. Yes. With you being in the church, and people misquote the Bible, misread the Bible, misrepresent the Bible, I've always wondered, because I've read the Bible cover to cover, and I'm hoping you can clarify for me what the Bible says on homosexuality. Because you know you always got people saying, oh, it says it right here, it says it right here. But it's easy to quote a piece of Scripture without knowing everything that that came before that particular bit of Scripture.
Yeah. The Scripture, right.
Mm-hmm.
So could you comment on that and clarify for me?
Absolutely. I can sum it up for you. First of all, in Christianity, the main reason why it's called Christianity or Christos or Christianity has to do with the fact that Christ did it all. He, before we were even born or could even know how to sin. We're not talking about sexual sin. We're just talking about whatever separates us from our best spiritual self, that separates us from God in the Christian faith we're speaking of here. Christ is the reason why we are redeemed, we are reconciled. Christ himself never spoke of homosexuality, never really spoke on that. The apostles did. Most people pull from Leviticus, which is Old Testament in nature, and they pull Leviticus 17, 18, somewhere within there. They pull scriptures out about man should not lie with man as with womankind. It also talks about not laying with beast as if with womankind. We have to understand the context of that particular scripture, that Israel at the time was going through almost like a genocide where they were dying out. And it was important that they procreated. So what was happening was there was a mandate because there were so many the actual race was starting to fall off. It was a mandate for that particular group of people not to do that. And that in that same context, you also see it was an abomination or sin to eat shellfish or lobster or shrimp or any scavengers that were on the sea. Many of them were also considered the cockroaches. And because they cleaned the bottom of the sea, they were considered dirty and unclean. So also lobster was incorrect. Very below that, if a child disobeyed their parents, they were to be put out from the camp, and they were also to be stoned to death. So if we're going to only take the one sentence that talks about in Scripture dealing with more so procreation and making sure that a race does not die, which could also be parallel today, and I can see people's argument today as well, that, you know, same gender loving or gay people or lesbians represent genocide because there's no procreation involved. So I definitely see where that correlation could come, but the separation is, if we're going to take that one particular scripture, are we also going to stop going to Red Lobster? Are we also going to stop eating shrimp kebabs and broiled and fried shrimp? Are we going to kill, literally put our kids out and then kill them physically so that everyone can see them killed? If you do that, now you're going to be arrested. You're going to be put in a psych ward. You had to know what context things were put in. In the New Testament, you hear Jesus talking about nothing in that regard. He did say that there would be some among you who would not marry. There would be some that just did not go into that, the normal conventional marriage, which you never hear him formidably talk about that. So I keep my focus on what Christ had to say. And he didn't talk about that. When Paul did address it, he was talking about, men laying with men or women with women. There was, in Rome, sexuality was a form of worship. Aphrodite and Venus, of course, of love. A lot of sexual sacrifices were made by displaying public sexual rituals, which is a form of pagan idolatry. And because Paul had come out from that, he wasn't himself, but because he came from that Roman auspices, he looked back at that and said, it's not expedient for you all to be having sex in public. It was just inappropriate. And then you had older men who were literally just raping younger men. And for some, it was consensual. However, it was in public, and it was to appease sex gods on both sides. The problem happened was when he said they were turned over to a reprobate mind and depraved. It means that there were straight people who were just trying to just experiment with homosexuality that were not intrinsically born with that genetic makeup.
because it was just something sexual to do, and that was considered inappropriate. And we can go back and forth on the debate of that, but we do understand that Christ never spoke of it. And when Paul did speak of it, he was talking specifically about how it was attached to sexual idolatry and worship of different gods as a form of a sacrifice, because they really believed in fertility in Rome. And they figured that if they really engaged in very promiscuous acts, that they would appease this god. And what it was doing was it was desensitizing them to the true emotional connection that's supposed to happen through sex. That's an emotional connection, a spiritual connection. That basically comes from.
I agree with everything you said. I thought it'd be better for you to explain it, because you did a much better job than I could.
Oh, thank you. I had to do a lot of studying because I had to go with I had to deprogram myself from the limited interpretations that I got from those who they meant well, but they just didn't fully research the scriptures. So. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I appreciate? I mean, you're clearly a teacher. You know, you're a preacher, you're a producer, you're a songwriter, you're a creator. What I truly respect about this interview tonight is you are not at all trying to bash, trying to be negative, and I commend you. That's admirable in the midst of all that's been like a 180, you know, that's come your way. You know,
yes.
So I want to
yes.
flip the script right now and kind of just talk about, you know, your career, your music, where B Slade goes from here. And again, I appreciate your transparency tonight. Your musical efforts, you know, have been known as a smorgasbord of styles. And I got to be honest, my friend, there has been, you know, instances where I've asked myself, what the hell is he doing? That's the weirdest shit I've seen ever, right? But I think from pop to R&B to jazz to soul to rock to hip-hop to Latin to, you know, I mean, punk, you're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But back June 9th, you dropped a mixtape that was, you know, that was kind of the end. It would be the last performance for, that was Tone 3X at that point, right?
Yeah. Tone pronounced Tone, but it was spelled with three, and that was the last. That was the segue album out of that auspices, as I would like to say, or out of that era into the B Slade era. Because I already knew. I just felt like people needed to know that the name, the person behind the name, was making a transition, and the only way they would know that formatively is to make the last record with that name. I just don't think that Tone would ever be a successful mainstream artist, because he is a gospel music superstar type person. He's like the biggest you can get in that particular genre, and meant to be the left field alternative creative side of that particular field of inspirational or faith-based music. So to do Parking Lot, it really rubbed people, that mixtape, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, because they're like, I only see him in one thing. So I had to kind of jar their mind, saying, okay, look, wait, wake up here. I'm about to make a transition, and this is where I'm headed. And this is the mixtape that substantiates that. So that was the only reason why that name was included with that. Yeah.
Let's share it with the world right now. Folks, this is the Parking Lot. B Slade, TM Hyman Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 Talk Radio Show.
In the parking lot. my brow. And you know, baby, I know how. Cause I didn't last night. But tonight we're out in the bubbly. My lucky stars, my windows are tinted.
Live. That was a hot joint from our guest this evening, B. Slade. I like that, B. Slade. It had like a Bilal feel to it. I really like that joint.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to collab with him and Rahsaan Patterson in the future. Those are two, I feel like they're two brothers from another, you know, that I really respect. I feel like that they are completely underappreciated. Of course, you know, the good stuff, sometimes unfortunately, it gets overlooked, but I believe that true music and real artists are about to make a major, major comeback in the industry, and that's what people are going to start turning to. So I know those two are going to be at the cream of the crop because they've been doing genius work for many, many years. I think it's about time that the real talent, you know, gets exposed.
You have been, in my opinion, underrated. After researching for this particular show, man, I mean, the fact that you've been all over the place, dude. I mean, BET, CNN, Insider, Entertainment Tonight, TBN, NBC, mm-hmm. CBS, ABC, Hollywood Access, Soul Train. I mean, you've kind of done it all, man. And as a gospel artist, I mean, maybe mm-hmm. that gospel artist title kind of put you in a box, and you kind of, you know, busted out the box with the whole
Unfortunately, it did.
The whole...
Yeah. That part, I'm so glad you said that. That's the main reason why I had to make that departure. Once I had accomplished everything that could be accomplished in that field, people think that you singing mainstream or rock music or R&B music means that you have now turned your back on your faith. No, I keep the faith. The faith is what keeps me in such a wicked and deceptive and divisive industry. It's been my foundation. The word is the word. Ministry is ministry. It takes different forms. And so I just feel that people, even with writing for different artists, I couldn't get a lot of work writing because they only thought I could write gospel or I would only be comfortable singing or writing or arranging or producing faith-based material. So that was a mainstream problem. So I had to make this breakaway that I can finally share what I believe God gave me to share with the whole planet, not just with people who are already saved. There are artists who I believe are called to edify people who are already believers. I think that's important, too. Not all gospel artists are meant to cross over. Not all of them are meant to go out and be ambassadors. Not all of them are meant to take those messages outside of those who are already believers. And believers need to be encouraged as well. So I'm still on the police squad. It's just I'm on the SWAT team. And, you know, we don't wear the same outfit. You know, we don't have the same training. We have a different type. We talk people off of ledges and buildings. We go into those places that the normal, you know, police officers can't get into. But we're on the same team. And I think that's what's happened. People are seeing me become a different type of an agent, and they're assuming that means that I'm going to the dark side. But they're actually right. What better place to go to share light except in darkness? And I saw more darkness in places that should have been light, and I've seen more light in places that have been assumed to be dark. So, you know, same team. You know, I'm still about life and love, and if someone can get something from my faith, then that's a beautiful thing. You know, I put my cards on the table, but I allow them to sort through. What I believe personally should not be forced upon anybody else, because it's so strong and so real. Some people have to go through their own life experience to encounter that spiritual moment where they have that, oh my God, this made me a believer. And because they've seen so many horrible demonstrations by other people, a lot of people think God is like how his people are. And that's not true. He's nothing like that.
Nothing like us.
Way more tolerant,
nothing
way
like
more
us.
Understanding and patient. So I'm trying to make sure I'm a representative of the holistic believer, the holistic Christian. I hate to even be Christian because that's actually a derogatory name that came from Nero and Caesar to actually talk bad about people who believed in Christ. So more than a Christian, I would say I'm just a believer, and I represent the 21st century believer who is open-minded, who is culturally relevant, and understands people from all walks of life. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says this, says, I must become all things that I might win some. And didn't say all, just some. But who it's not for, God bless you. Who it is for, I'm glad he was able to help, but I'm still not going to force what I believe on anyone because it's a personal relationship. Everybody grows at different rates and speeds. You can't force that on people like that.
Folks, if you are in the New York area, Thursday, December 2nd, 7:30 p.m., Joe's Pub. It's located at 425 Lafayette Street in New York. That's New York, New York, 10003. Again, Thursday, December 2nd. Go check out Be Slave, 7:30 p.m. at Joe's Pub. That's 425 Lafayette Street, New York, New York, 10003. B. Slade, man, you don't understand. I know for a fact you've blessed a lot of people today just with your realness and with your story itself. Grammy-nominated, 7-time Stellar Award winner, GMA Award winner. You know, this dude is off the chain. Yo, you tripped me out, man, with the whole one-on-one theme song, the intro to one-on-one.
Yeah,
because,
a lot of people
love
that.
One-on-one.
I like that song. I've always been a fan of theme songs. So actually, Mary J. Blige was supposed to do that, and my song beat it out. So Paramount went with me. So it was a real blessing. If they want to know more information, they can just log on to bsladenow.com, bsladenow.com. On Facebook, it's Brian Slade Music, and on Twitter, it's at bslade, bslade, and you can find out all the information. By the way, the last two albums are absolutely free because we just want to get the art out there. So once again, bsladenow.com. You can also get tickets for the show there under the tour section. Facebook.com/Brian Slade Music. And then on Twitter, once again, bslade, at bslade, B-S-L-A-D-E.
B. Slade, a.k.a. Tony, dude.
S.K.A., formerly known as. It's definitely not an a.k.a.
Formerly known
yes.
as. You say, get it right,
yes.
Hyman. Get
that's
it right.
That's a wrap now.
B. Slade, formerly known as.
No, it's all good.
Tony, man.
It's all good.
appreciate the love. You can come back here, dude. Send us music. I'm sure Ray going to get it to us. We going to play it.
Absolutely.
We'll keep promoting you, dude. I mean, 425
Absolutely.
Lafayette Street, New York, New York, Thursday, December the 2nd.
It's going down.
To you, man.
At the pub.
Hey, plan to come back anytime you want to, my friend. Angels, you got anything as we wrap this up?
Yes, CeeLo has a question. How you doing, B. Slade?
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Okay.
Now, you named someone that you wanted to work with. I wanted to know what other artists did you want to work with, or were you looking forward to working with in the future?
Oh, yes. Janelle Monae.
Yes. I love her.
I just feel like that's my twin sister. Grace Jones.
Grace.
Nicki Minaj, Billy Joel.
Wow.
You know, yeah, I would love to work from now.
You are truly all over the place.
The future and
all
over the place. I have a really eclectic musical taste. So those are the people I'd like to work with in the near future.
Well, and that's awesome. I like to hear those collaborations.
Absolutely.
Now, I didn't want to get really, you know, stay on the religious thing too long because I know we are moving forward from that. But and there's nothing wrong with it at all. But
No, not at all.
You were,
I think it's the best conversation I've actually had about it because people have allowed me to talk in an objective way. So I appreciate you all for that.
Well, we appreciate you for your honesty and feeling comfortable enough and at home enough to speak with us as such.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to know, because from what I researched, I found that you were a minister. Is that true or not?
You you can't retire from ministry, but I used to be a pastor for 6 years. I was a pastor. As of July 4th of this year, I resigned from the pastorate once my mother passed. 6 months after, I decided to let that portion of what I do dissipate, so that I can explore the other side of my career, which I neglected. And so ministry is always going to be within me. I don't think it's just I think a lot of people think minister, they think of clergy callers and, you know, the man of God and all that. That's always going to be within me. But, yeah, what does that mean, the man of God? I was trying to figure that out the other day. But it's, to me, true ministry is when somebody is able to relate to all walks of life, even if you don't understand where everyone's coming from. Pain is pain, right? Hurt is hurt. Truth is truth. You know the truth when you feel it. The goosebumps always tells you when it's the truth. And your stomach always tells you when it's a lie. So that's across the board, but no longer am I locked into the conventional pastorate or ministerial location. It's not a bad thing. It's just it's a different season for me right now, but whenever the time calls for me to, I know how to go there too.
Not a return. Basically, one more time: website, Twitter, and Facebook.
The website is BSlade Now, BSLADE Now.com. Twitter page is at BSlade, and the Facebook is Brian Slade Music.
Folks, if you are looking for a treat, go check B. Slade out Thursday, December 2nd, 2010, 7:30 at Jubb's Pub, New York City, 425 Lafayette Street, New York, New York. B. Slade, much success to you, my friend. Hopefully we'll talk to you
soon,
right?
Thank you. Thank
you. You all be well. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 Talk Radio Show.
A long journey. We have something to tell you. I don't know which way she'll perform, but I can perform this one to a few. You know they're gone through. You're in trouble.
She gets up every morning, gonna drag herself out of bed. Found her under, it's been storming. Then she pops up a cigarette. Nobody. become boring. She's been wilding ever since. And plus she was so charming.
Money is one of the main causes of stress. I mean, we all know that right now, during the recession, there's increased money woes for many people. People are they fear joblessness, and they have more pressure on them to make ends meet on a smaller budget. So there's an author by the name of Kimberly Palmer who has a book called Generation Earn Out. She's actually a financial expert for U.S. News and World Report. She has a pretty good book out, so I just wanted to give you a few tips or secrets to a happy financial life that she gave. First, don't skimp on what makes you happy, whether it's a new pair of boots or your daily coffee or Java at the coffee house. The quickest way to destroy your budget is to make it impossible to follow. So don't cut out everything that you like to do. Of course, cut out the things that don't mean a lot, like going out to eat every night. You can cut out those things, but small little splurges, like maybe a cup of coffee or something that you enjoy that won't break your pockets, don't skimp out on that. Do that if it makes you happy. It also includes investing in your career. Since your profession is what has the potential to make you money, then that's the place where you want to actually put more money into it instead of cutting costs. So whether it's time that you put in a revamp for your office wardrobe or just taking a career advancement course or working with a coach, just make an investment in your career because you may see the payoff later on down the line. We always talk about tracking your money. So, if you can track where you're spending extra money that's not needed to be spent, you can actually use the money or some of the money to do more pleasurable things that you may actually want to do. So, reward yourself from time to time. enforce a cutoff, you know, for bigger purchases, instead of saying, no, I'm not going to spend that amount of money. For larger purchases, maybe over $100, make sure you just do some research, just hunt around online, check comparison sites such as like PriceGrabber.com, or even negotiate depending on what stores you're in. So you don't have to cut out all of your big purchases, but when you are going to actually make a big purchase, just make sure you include a cutoff point and make sure you do research before just spending that large chunk of money. Get a second job, and a second job doesn't have to be a conventional job, something that you're used to, going in the office or what have you. Why don't you get a job that you actually like to do? If you're someone who likes photography, why don't you offer to, you know, be a photographer at parties or small events that can get you a small amount of money, but it's also a fun thing for you to do. You never know, those small events, even if it's a friend's party or a birthday party for a friend's child, that can lead to more assignments or more freelance jobs, per se, that you can make more money at. So that's another thing you can do. Just simplify your life. There's some things that you can make small changes on to make, you know, life more enjoyable. Instead of driving to work every day, if you live nearby, you can, you know, leave the house a little early or walk to work or ride the bike to work. Do things that are a little more pleasurable and not just so much in daily routine. And another thing that she recommends is think like celebrities. Of course, we all wish we had the money that celebrities have, but we don't. But that doesn't mean that you can't live like a celebrity. Living like a celebrity sometimes just means giving back to people. We hear about a lot of celebrities who have their own charities, or they actually join up with a big name charity to give back to the community. So we may not have a lot of money to put back into the community, but a little bit of time, an effort, even if it's with friends, you know, doing things like that, giving back to the community, whether it's at small events or if it's you know, tutoring kids that are in high risk areas. Or maybe even going to a homeless shelter and donating your time. Just doing that with friends is something that, you know, you can be blessed by just by blessing others. And it's a fun thing to do to help other people, especially if you're doing it with people that you love. So just little things like that can help to improve your life, you know, financially. You don't necessarily have to cut out everything, but there's some things that you can do, you know, to live a happy financial life. And again, the book is called Generation Earn. It's by Kimberly Palmer. And again, she's a financial expert that works for, I think, U.S. News and World Report. So those are just a few tips and secrets to a happy financial life.
And we love it. Finance every Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday out of Newark, Delaware with Toya. Thanks, Toya. Mad props to B. Slade, formerly known as Tone, for stopping by, spending the hour with us. Check him out. Thursday, December 2nd, Joe's Pub, New York City. Coming up, entertainment news with
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
Spend a day ocean, 'cause my favorite place is right here with you. Don't wanna live my life any other way, 'cause baby, it's a simple thing that can't be replaced. Unperfect the way that we
you under the bus.
I wasn't. I'm just playing.
I wasn't going to let you because I mean it's real.
Right. I know you're gonna beat me to it. But look, you know what I like though.
But I respect them. The whole point is this interview. He's no longer weird to me. He's a strong businessman to me at this point because I looked at his portfolio prior to the show tonight and I was blown. You know, but I mean, so you know, he's no longer weird. But I had to at least tell him that I thought he was weird.
Well, what's big about that is the fact that you know, even though he came out, you know, quote unquote came out, you know, during an interview, which was unbeknownst to him that you know these questions were going to be even asked. Which is that,
wasn't that shocking?
Part, you know what I'm saying?
Wasn't that shocking?
Right. But and the thing is, like, why would they set him up like that? But you know what? It may have been one of the best things for him so that he could become or get to know who he was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because now he can be.
Can you all imagine, though? Can you imagine coming to do this show, you as a guest, you know, and, you know, we're talking about one thing and all of a sudden I hit you with, like, a curveball from, like, 15 years ago?
Right. You're like, weren't you a stripper your first year of college? What? I'm
right.
a senator now.
right.
What in the world?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I mean, but I'm glad
that's
that he felt.
That's pretty tacky.
Right, because a lot of people are at odds with that. You know, between spirituality and religion and what they were taught growing up versus what they're learning as adults. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of people are at odds, and I think he clarified it for a lot of people, even people that aren't same gender loving.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I got a topic for us, and I'm just going to trump. We had some topics that was coming up next few shows, but I'm going to tell you something. He educated us tonight, folks, out of his own, I'm going to call it a tragedy, really, because, you know, the one thing that I was very respectful of and I'm very respectful of is people's personal lives. Even though this is an entertainment show, it's a radio show, we ask questions, and sometimes we ask tough questions. We definitely talk about interesting topics. I'm still respectful. And I don't know if you have done your own research, but I'm only going to share what's already in the news. But, I mean, you know, Tone A. And I'm not going to, you know, Tone A, to speak in the past, he lost his family, he lost his wife, he lost his church family, and he lost millions of dollars in deals over that interview.
Right.
And the way it was sold to us as if he came out. And you heard it live for yourself right here tonight, folks. It wasn't supposed to be that way.
Right.
He was set up, like CeeLo said. He was set up. And think about the impact of it, right? So I didn't go into all of the specifics because I wanted to talk about what was important. What was important was the fact that he has come to a crossroad in his life, like many of us come to a crossroad in our life, okay? Now let's erase the fact that, you know, his crossroad was homosexuality. Let's erase that. And now replace it with whatever your vice is.
Right.
Would you appreciate somebody bringing your vice to the public and putting you on Front Street? And in turn, so that's question one, would you appreciate it? Number two, would you appreciate losing everything because of it?
Right.
He talked to us tonight about that reality, you know, and in turn, I think we should continue to perpetuate positive, strong conversations that help us. Because
yeah.
I believe we are healed and helped by one another in a quote-unquote story or testimony because of my faith.
Exactly.
Right?
And you know what? I would
and,
say,
you know,
too, that his...
That's just
that,
my opinion. Just my opinion. Not the opinion of the Team Hama Radio show, but just my opinion. I don't
right.
speak for angels.
Your show, right. BSFF, I think, is probably the equal of the Nigger album by Nas,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
because and what people didn't understand was like it's the message behind it. You know, it's
right.
no different than you know you know, like we say, like if a woman calls another woman a bitch, it's the label. You know what I'm saying? It's, a lot of people get caught up in the label, and then some people may not think of it. It's like, why would you let, on one hand, why would you let somebody disrespect you? The other hand, there was no harm behind it. But at the same time, when people are calling people faggots and sissies and just get throwing labels on them, it's like they don't even give them, it's almost not like taking the right away from them for being alive. It's like, this is just what you are. Here's your scarlet letter, wear it, and that's all you are. And
yeah.
So
my label was Mama's Boy. My label was Mama's Boy, and I used to be real, you know, real offended by that, because in turn, you know, I take, you know, you call me Mama's Boy, but in turn, you know, you call me a punk, you know, or something like that. And at the end of the day, I kind of grew up with that because my mom always protected me. But I'm going to tell you something, as a grown-ass man, I love my mama. I'm a mama's boy. To hell with you. And at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, because this is my thing. You know, we all have had a label. You know, some of us was called whores from a young age. Some of us was called stupid from a young age. The one thing, you can call me a mama's boy, but you can't call me ignorant, and you won't call me broke. Area code 757, last four digits, 2259. Tell us your name when you're calling from.
What's your name,
yo? What's up, man? It's Sincere, man. What's going on?
What's cracking, homie?
What's the deal, man? I had to get in on it tonight. That took
hey,
me a
dude,
little bit of
that was,
took me a time because my phone was dead. So, but we good.
Interesting show tonight, man. But as a producer, as an executive, weigh in. What was your thoughts on that tonight? Sincere calling out a VA friend to the show.
I mean, I'm gonna keep it 100. I applaud my man for coming out, and I mean, he is good. Artistically great in the industry. I mean, I'm a fan of his work and everything. But the only thing that kind of touched me in his whole little spiel is I don't condone using the Bible to explain your wrongdoings. That's my whole thing. I mean, I got my vices. We all got our vices, everything. But in everything that I do, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't go back to the Bible to say, and then bring in other little things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because, I mean, a whole lot of, I'm a tattoo fanatic. Everybody who know me know I got tattoos everywhere. And everybody say it says in the Bible, and I say, well, show me where it says in the Bible. And some people bring up one little verse, and I say, well, you know, that was back in the day. But I know me, myself, I have to face whether I'm wrong or right in my little tattoo fetish. I have to face God for that. That's my thing. And I'm not judging him on anything. I mean, I got plenty of friends that are homosexuals, plenty of family members that are homosexuals. But don't use the Bible and say the Bible says this and try to put it on old times. I mean, the Bible says straightforward that homosexuality is an abomination. And that's just 100%. I mean,
that's right.
That's your cross to bear when you get to God. But I just don't want anybody else who's out there listening to take what this person's saying and saying, well, he's saying that the Bible's saying is right. No, that's not what.
No,
he,
I didn't
that's
get
not
that. No, just to say, I didn't get that out of his conversation.
He wasn't saying that.
From my perspective,
he was using the Bible because he was saying that how you just said that the Bible was said that, you know, homosexuality is an abomination. He was saying that, you know, people have, you know, quoted Bible scriptures to him, and he was just quoting those Bible scriptures that were quoted to him as to show him that, you know, this is where it is in the Bible that homosexuality is wrong. He wasn't using it to validate his.
Also, what I think he was saying really to the caller's question, where, you know, he said, please explain to us where it says in the Bible that homosexuality is wrong. I think what he was really saying was that it was a small part of the verse. Really, I think it's exactly what you said, Sincere. It says very clearly that homosexuality is unacceptable. You know, and depend on the type of version of Bible you have, it'll say different things verbatim, right? But really, at the end of the day, what it says is homosexuality is not of God. That was the whole point. And I think he was just saying, even though it was one sentence, people make it seem like it was a whole chapter in the Bible. Right. And it wasn't. But if he said it once, guess what? That's all that matters. He said it once in that one little scripture, and that's all he needed to say. It's unacceptable. Yeah. But I didn't get from him that he was saying that it, you know, the Bible has justified him in any way. I didn't get that.
Nah, see, I was just clearing it up. See, because I'm in the studio, got my daughter with me, and my daughter looked kind of like, what? He said this?
Right.
And I'm like, nah.
Right.
You know, so me as a father.
Clear it up. That's right. Clear it
had
up.
Had to clear everything up for my daughter to let
That's
her
right.
know, no, this is not. Don't take, and I mean, I teach everybody around me, my children, my artists, my business associates, everything. Don't take whatever I say for you as the gospel. Go look it up for yourself. So even if I tell you something, go find the knowledge on your own. And if you prove me right, then you validate me. If you prove me wrong, come back and share your knowledge that you found on your own. Share that with me.
Right. Hey, Sincere, stand by. This is the new one right here from my man Sincere. The Teller Music Group is called Rain. Up next, we got CeeLo Entertainment Lose live out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Right now.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show.
Yeah, poke stroking. She got a nigga hoping that she'll pop off.
and blow a nigga until she locked up. In the champagne room, I get my rocks off, cause I am so awesome. Hit your offering, I don't do this often. You gotta put your all in, and while she make it rain, man, Dustin Hoffman.
M. Hyman Radio Live, that's Rain Taylor Music Group, coming to you live out of Charlotte, North Carolina, with our entertainment national news. Give it up for CeeLo.
Good afternoon in the morning time, people. It's November 29th, 2010. Hot off the CNN presses, a senator introduces a bill to extend jobless benefits. A Democrat-sponsored bill to extend unemployment benefits by 1 year was introduced into the Senate Monday, which is today, and it's likely to face stiff opposition by the Republicans. Now, Senator Max Baucus, he said that it would reauthorize benefits for nearly 800,000 out-of-work Americans who are about to exhaust their benefits at the end of next week. So pretty much they're saying, like, you know, like most people who get unemployment, they get like 26 weeks of unemployment. And if this bill is passed, at the end of that 26 weeks, it'll extend it out to 73. So, like, I think that's –
73
that's,
weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
73 more weeks.
Right. I mean, well, collectively, not all – not for every single person get – you know, not every single person is going to get 73 weeks. Let me clarify
you
gotta that.
You got to qualify for it. Okay, gotcha.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like they can keep extending it. But, like, I think now it was at a point where it would stop after 2 years. It would, like, just totally – you can't get it. You know, you're just out. But now they're trying to get it where people can still extend past then. I'm going to keep –
I'm telling you right now, the Republicans are not going for it. They already think the Democrats are like heavy spenders. Why would they want to give us more money that's going to increase the deficit? That's not going to fly. But, you
right.
know, that's not me. I want to be an optimist, but that's not – that's too much extra spending.
Right. And it's saying – they're just saying, like, you know, about 14 million Americans are unemployed, you know, and, like, about half of those are out of work for at least, you know – for at least 26 weeks, 27 weeks. But, you know, but a lot of people, you know, because of the economy, you know, recovering, people are trying, you know, getting back into jobs. But on to new news, other news, rather. Jay-Z's Decoded, that was released on the 16th of November. How about it's on the New York Times bestseller list? It came in at number 3.
Sugar.
Okay, you know, so he can add that to his list of titles, okay? And along with him on the New York Times bestsellers is George Bush with Decision Points and Lauren Hillenbrand with Unbroken. And Oprah also listed Jay-Z's Decoded as in her favorite things. So, you know, his crossover is ridiculous now. Ever since she went to Marcy, I think his crossover is ridiculous. How about this? Faith Evans. She pled no contest to a DUI case and was sentenced to 36 months of probation.
Smart lady.
Right. You know, she was stopped at a checkpoint. So this pretty much lets you know that DUIs can happen to anyone. You know, I mean, I don't approve of anyone drinking and driving. But, you know, that just goes to show it can happen to anyone. And, yeah. But she's, for her probation, she just can't drive with any alcohol in her system. And hopefully she doesn't do so. But let's move on to someone else. Nelly. How he got on that, I don't know, the top MC list, I don't know. But anyway, he's upset that his new album that was released also on November 16th, 5.0, that his sales, like, sucked. He only sold, like, 63,000 copies in the first week. And he blamed on Motown. Your Universal label. He said it was poor marketing.
They were generous.
But look, it still landed on the top 10 Billboard, the top 200. It landed at number 10. So
That's only because there are not a lot of good MCs out there right now. That's the only reason.
Okay, I'll agree with you on that. But look, his last album, though, Sweat Suit, that produced Nicki Minaj's numbers, which she produced, what, she sold 400,000 copies this first week. Okay,
we got to do a show, and I don't mean to just be butting into your segment. We got to do a show on Nicki Minaj's album because I think this is like the biggest like scheme ever. I want
I've
people to weigh in on this damn record and tell me was it worth your ducats. We're going to do a whole show around that coming up because I think there's some mixed opinions. Back to CeeLo.
Oh, yes. Well, speaking, I'm going to speak off. I'm going to piggyback off you because I actually like the Kim. the Nicki Minaj album. I just don't like that Right Through Me song, but whatever. So, anyway, Nicki sold 400,000 copies her first week. Yay, Nicki. Kanye went above and beyond that with 530,000 copies. And so this is just first week numbers. You know, we'll find out
Big
more.
Big up to both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Money.
And also Soulja Boy. Not really one of my favorites, but you know what? I
Big up to Soulja
Boy.
He's
his
an entrepreneur.
Ambition. Yeah, Soulja Boy's
you know
album.
To hell with ambition. See, you're a hater. To hell with ambition. He's
oh,
an
wow.
entrepreneur. He's a business man. Get out of here.
Well, I'm telling people about his album, aren't I? I'm not that much of a hater. If I don't like it, I don't like it. That don't mean that I'm hating.
Big up. Big
but,
up.
Soulja Boy, his album, The DeAndre Way, is coming out tomorrow. So look out for that. And he's working on an autobiography, which is also going to be titled The DeAndre Way. And it's just supposed to tell us about his rise to stardom. And this album is just supposed to show that he's a person and not a superstar. So, yeah. I wonder if Cat Stacks is going to be on this.
Okay. Funny.
Look, really, because it really wasn't that much going on in the news today. Well, this weekend, outside of everybody, you know, getting chubby over the weekend. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I have for you guys today.
That's what's good. CeeLo coming out of Charlotte. Hey, I want to piggyback off of something. Folks,
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 Talk Radio Show.
I just want to open it back up, like, to the whole crew. Sincere, I think, is still hanging out with us. Nicki Minaj and Kanye, just the units that they sold, right, in a recession.
Yeah.
Get out of here. It's money out there. If people pay for what they want, right? Get out of here, recession. Nobody on this show tonight has missed a meal at all.
No.
And we keep talking about a recession.
Yeah.
400,000 and 500,000 copies in 1 week, Sincere. Get out of here. That's what we're looking for, right?
I mean, that's a good week for anybody. I mean, but I'm gonna speak on it like this. Number one, some people might take this wrong, but I never knew we was in a recession. I mean, okay, some people lost jobs, but people lose jobs every day since I was born. Maybe not at
right.
this rate, but you got to think of how the international economy is moving. It has nothing to do with the United States of America. You got to think of how the international economy is moving, and
yeah,
all the jobs.
They're busted. They're busted across seas too now. I just seen
jobs are going overseas. Jobs
a bailout
going overseas. That's,
like
the, that's the thing. But I'm gonna take this. I'm gonna take this opportunity to speak to President Obama. If you want to save your presidency, forget about extending unemployment benefits, legalize marijuana.
Forget about it.
You will win hands down. I'm telling you.
You know what?
I'm talking about people who are pulling out rolling papers and everything at their desk.
Do you know how many jobs will be created by legalizing marijuana? I know a pharmaceutical, supposedly pharmaceutical cafe out in California. This dude pulled in $5 million
Right.
Pay out $2.7 million in taxes.
Exactly.
I could believe it. Actually, but you know what? I mean, for folks who just was jolted by that proposal, that proclamation to our commander-in-chief coming out of VA tonight, let me tell you something. The state of California has been doing it, and the federal government, guess what? Guess what? Google it. You're listening to an internet radio show. The government has been receiving taxes off of business people in the state of California off of marijuana for years. Dig down deep, see what's really going on. All Sincere is really saying is why keep it exclusive to Arnold Schwarzenegger and his team? You know, we got issues too.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show.
Baby, I'm on ya.
Health and Wellness, live out of Chesapeake, Virginia, with Dee Dee.
All right, all right, all right. Good evening, everybody. Tonight's Health and Wellness segment, I just wanted to talk to everyone tonight about becoming mentally prepared for the holidays. With Thanksgiving over, now the onset of Christmas is coming, everybody's feeling overwhelmed, especially if you have large families and you have tight pockets. I know Sincere said he hasn't experienced a recession, and you're probably right if you think about it. However, I know some people have felt, you know, their pockets get a little bit tighter. So to help with help calm some of that stress down, to ease some of that that overwhelming feeling, different things that you can do, things such as ask for help. If you have a big family, you can delegate certain responsibilities as far as maybe who's having the Christmas dinner at their place, or who's instead of maybe somebody just one person cooking, everybody bring a potluck, everybody bring a dish. That way, that one person won't feel like they are doing all the cooking at their house and things of that sort. Also, for that person who's also doing the cooking, or who decides, okay, well, maybe they want to do the cooking, like my mom, who always wants to do the cooking, which is cool because she really cooks good. Get disposable dish pans, dishes, things that you can throw away, that you can keep the food in, throw away, that you don't have to, you know, keep them in the pots. Help you clean up a lot faster. I think Toya can help me relate on that one. And so go to the dollar store, your family dollar, your Dollar General, get a couple, you know, silver pans, easy cleanup. Other things that you can do, Pollyanna, again, for people who have a big family, even if you don't have a big family, but if you have tight funds, Pollyanna is a good way to, you know, make sure everybody participates and include everybody and make sure everybody gets a gift. Pollyanna, if people are not sure what Pollyanna is, it's like when you stick a name in the hat, you pull the name out of the hat, and that's the person you buy, that's the person you buy the gift for, and you set a dollar amount. I'm sure if you've been in a job or office type of setting where you've had a lot of people around, you've played that particular game, or maybe like Chinese Christmas or something of that sort. Also, what you can start doing, to help alleviate some of the stress, is also prioritize. Decide what's most important to you and your family. Sometimes going away is what's most important. You don't want to stay home. You want to take a trip. So you prioritize what's most important. You say, okay, well, let's cut back on Christmas gifts so we can afford the plane ticket to go, maybe visit a relative, or afford the gas or the toll fare, things of that sort. Again, prioritizing. Maybe it's more important that, you know, you just spend a lot of money on food and not a lot of money on gifts. You just want to spend that time with your family. So just, again, ask your family, sit down, have a family discussion, decide, you know, what's most important, and start your list there. That way you won't feel overwhelmed like you're taking on the responsibility by yourself. Women, we have a tendency at Christmas time to feel like we have to bear the brunt of everything. And men, y'all just chill and watch football. However, it's 2010 and we're going to begin to delegate some responsibility. Here we need men to step up to the plate. So we want to, again, ease some of that mental stress, some of that overwhelming feeling. So we need everybody to cooperate, everybody, all hands on deck. I think that's what they say in the Navy, all hands on deck. It's time for everybody to play their position, you know, get involved.
Play your position, get involved. Hey, Sincere Angels, hey, appreciate you tonight. Last minute shout-outs. Hey, Sincere, man, keep that music coming.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all, man. I love the show. We always tuned in whenever we're in studio. Y'all a big distraction, so I appreciate it.
Hey, hopefully President Obama heard you tonight, though.
Hey, I wrote President Obama and my congressman, everybody else out there. It ain't even about if you smoke weed or not. You just need to know what's going on in your country. A whole lot of stuff going on under all y'all noses that y'all don't know about. I mean, it's 16 states is about to legalize marijuana, and
yeah.
Virginia is not one of them. So,
what Commonwealth is signing up?
Yeah, that's more taxes we have to pay, more fines.
I mean, but that should be a reason for them too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I like you intelligent folks. Good night. Hey, tune back Wednesday night. We're going to keep this kind of conversation going through Wednesday night. We're going to bring it back. Check out the site for the show topic, Wednesday 10 p.m., Friday 10 p.m. Check us out. Good night. We appreciate you. Thanks, B. Slade. Thanks, Angels. Good night, everybody. Be safe.
Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DMDM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DMDM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show.